Go to Ephesians 6, please. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In other words, be strong in the relationship as Lord. As what? Lord has to do with commander. Lord. He's the Lord of your life. He's the commander of your life. Amen? It's a relationship in an area where you already know he's... This is beyond child. This is beyond child father. This is Lord. Lord is commander. Lord is overseer. Lord is who controls your life now. It says be strong in the relationship as Lord and commander. In the power of his anointed presence, which is his might. Okay, so there's two things. Be strong in the relationship as the Lord and commander, and power. And in the power of his anointed presence, be strong in that. In other words, it says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery. See, these are two requirements that are needed. To have a strong relationship is an understanding that he is the Lord and commander. You have a relationship as a child and father. Now, this is a higher level of relationship because now it's about a military operation. This is who you are as a child. You are now a soldier. So you go from child to soldier. Now he's the Lord and commander of your life. You allow him to control everything. You wait for the commands so that you move when he tells you to move or do what he tells you to do. You no longer have a life. Your life is surrendered. Why? Because he's Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. So he's not only... What's a shepherd do? It leads, doesn't it? It takes care of a flock. Well, he's not only the shepherd of the flock, but he's also the Lord and commander of his military. And so many times we still stay in a childlike, and there's nothing wrong with a childlike attitude, but we need to get to a soldier mentality, a warrior mentality. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a power struggle daily. There's a power struggle. In other words, there's a struggle over who's in control every day. There's a power struggle. The world is under a struggle of who's in control. It's all about power. Whoever has the power has the control, supposedly. Amen? The devil wants to get us in a place of control with his power. And he does have power. He's got power to deceive, manipulate, and all kinds of things. God wants us to get us into control of power to free. So the power God gives me and you is to free. The power that the devil has is to bring it to slavery. Amen? Is everybody okay? Why are y'all looking at me funny? Hallelujah. So this power is needed to sustain against the powers, the trickery, the deception, the sliminess of the devil. Amen? It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Hello, armor of God is for what? Battle. Amen? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. See, there's a power struggle. It's a global power struggle, and there's a daily power struggle for me and you. There's a power struggle between light and darkness. Amen? There's a power struggle between fear and boldness, or even fear and faith. Truth and lies. obedience and disobedience? How about sickness and health? There's a power struggle between them. Amen? Bondage and freedom, there's a power struggle. Your old man and your new man, there's a power struggle. One's always trying to take control, isn't it? But the power of God is not to control, it's to what? Free. The power of the enemy is to what? Control. See, because you and I surrender our will to God, so He has control. The enemy wants to he wants to steal your power. Does everybody get this? He wants to steal your power. He can't steal it. He wants you to actually surrender it. That's a choice. What does he want you to do? Surrender your power to him. So when you surrender your power to him, or even you surrender your will, which is a choice, it's a power to choose, then you fall into a place where he has control. And it's a constant thing, daily. Daily. Why? He's always trying to get you to make a choice that surrenders your power. Amen? Is everybody okay? Look at the difference. There's a power struggle between lust and love. Many people don't even know the difference. How about prosperity and poverty? You know, there are many people that could be very rich, but they are very poor. Some of them, the richest people are some of the most poorest people. What's poor spiritually? There's a struggle between pride and humbleness and humility. Between surrender and survival. There's a power struggle in your mind. Amen? Sound mind or confusion. How about peace and anxiousness? Self and selfish. Selfless and selfishness. There's a within power struggle, and then there's a outward power struggle that we see all over the world. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a political power struggle. There's a military power struggle. There's medical. There's media. There's education. Look at those who are struggling. They're surrendering their souls for fame and fortune and wealth. Look at the love of money. There's a power struggle there. Daily struggle. The devil is trying to get us back under control. That's why when the word says when a spirit leaves an individual and it goes back to the same individual, 7 times stronger. Amen? Why? Because they're always trying to take control. They can't do anything in this realm without human cooperation. Do you hear what's happening? They can't do anything in this realm without human cooperation. Hallelujah. So they must influence. The Bible tells us something very important. It tells us, as a man thinks, so he is. Amen? As a man thinks, so he is. Or so he what? Becomes. Praise God. What a man speaks is what he also becomes. Because what a man speaks, he eats, and then he becomes it. So there's two things, as a man thinks and as a man speaks. So your words do not fall to the ground. Amen? They come back to you. Either they're going to come back as light or they're going to come back as darkness. So as a man agrees, so would also he becomes. Amen? So these things is what the enemy uses to influence us to do what? To surrender our power back. See, you and I have been given great power. We are more than conquerors, the word says. He says, he who's in us is greater than he is in the world. But many people don't believe it because of the struggle, the power struggle within them. See, people want to live by what they see instead of by what he says. And that's two different things. They want to live by how they feel instead of what he says. That's a struggle power. Amen? Acts 1, 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them. Hello, why? Because he's the Lord. He gives commands. Amen? Now, this wasn't a thing that he said, would you mind? This isn't a thing, what do you think about? This was not a communication back and forth. Amen? This was an area he said, I command. Why? Because he's Lord and commander. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he commanded them, don't leave. Out of hundreds of the disciples that were there that heard this, they disobeyed. How many were left? 120. There were 500 of them that were there. 120 obeyed. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, what will at this time when you restore the kingdom of Israel? He wasn't talking on anything about national restoration at all. He was talking about spiritual restoration. Amen? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. To me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, so we would have power to be witnesses. Why? Because you are overcoming. You're overcoming obstacles, attacks, persecutions, temptations. You're overcoming them. People you used to associate with saying, what's the matter? What happened to you? Amen? Why? Because you now have power. You think differently. You speak differently. You see differently. Your presence is different. It's no longer your presence. It's his. There's a difference in every area of your life. But there's a process of cooperation. And there's something that's within you that says, I want to know you more, but I want to learn more. You stay thirsty and hungry no matter how old you are, how long it's been. There's a thirst and a hunger that says, I want to know you more. Look at Moses. Look at all the great things God did with Moses. He still said, show me your glory. It's like, man, how many times you want to see it, bro? Share some of that, will you? Hallelujah. It wasn't time for the national restoration, but spiritual restoration with power to overcome the evil one. Why? So they can become witnesses. Witnesses. See, it's not about how much knowledge you have. It's about how much presence you have. And how much presence you have determines in how much you want to know him, how much you worship him, how much you love his presence. He's not going to hang with someone that doesn't love his presence. Amen? He wants you to love his presence more than anything else. 1 Peter 5:5, please. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, those who are more mature. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. In other words, respect one another. For God resists the prideful, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, he gives his plan of what? Escape. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So there'll be a time when he's going to bless your socks off and promote you or do whatever, as long as you stop doing stupid stuff. Stop grieving the presence of God. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop loving yourself more than him. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be what? Alert. Be vigilant. Be consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, a roaring lion is only one that has a big mouth. Again, he's trying to just get you to agree with him. He's trying to get you to cooperate with him. He's trying to get you to surrender your power. That's what he wants. So when you surrender your power to him, you give in. See, we surrender to God, but not to the enemy. Hallelujah. Alert and consistent. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And right? Compromises your identity. To surrender your power to fight. To surrender your what? Power to fight. That's his job. And he does it well. Very well. The power struggle all over the world. Look at the power struggle. That's war. War breaks out because of what? Power struggle. James 4, in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. That's an inner struggle of power, isn't it? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you don't ask correctly. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your selfish desires, pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. So when you make yourself a friend of the world, you've surrendered your power. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to man. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. No matter what you do, make sure that he's before you in everything you do. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's a struggle over control. It's a power struggle. Again, it's global. Only those that submit to the purpose of God surrender their will for his will. They surrender what? Their will for his will. There's an exchange there. Luke chapter 9, 23, please. You know, if we could get the understanding more that the enemy's always, he can't touch you unless you let him. He can't steal anything from you. In fact, he can't even curse you. He causes you to bring your own curses on you. And does everybody get it? He cannot do anything to you. Jesus disarmed him. The only ones he can get something to is those who do not know the truth. That's what he says, people, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because even his own people don't even know. Yes, Jesus paid the price. But the number one thing he requires is cooperation. That's why he said, follow me. Amen. Follow me. So you got to cooperate to learn. If you're not willing to cooperate, you're not going to learn. Then you're not going to fight. You give up your power all the time. If you give up your will, you give up your power to him. Luke 9:23. Is everybody there? Then he said to them all and all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Ooh. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? Or whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his own glory. And in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Again, here is the struggle. Amen. If you do not, let's just say this. If you cannot master yourself, you cannot have power over the enemy. Does everybody understand that? If you cannot master your own man, you won't be able to have power over the enemy. Because the first power is granted to you is to deny yourself. That's master over your old man, yourself. If you don't have power there, you won't have power over the enemy. And the enemy knows it. He challenges us every time. He knows that if he can get you to promote yourself, to agree with things, he knows that if you do not have power over your old man, you don't have power over him. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, right, that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered. Jesus transfigured right in front of him, man. And his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So they spoke of his crucifixion. They were preparing. But understand that before this, 8 days afterwards, Jesus gave them a specific message about denying themselves. And I know that he constantly reminded them, remember, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. You got to pick up the cross and fight and follow me. But this was also a message at that time and daily message, because that is the formula, deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow. Without doing that, you ain't going to have no victory. But it was also a representation, because Moses and Elijah showed up when Jesus transfigured, about the rapture, the main plan of escape. The final plan of escape was a rapture. Moses and Elijah showed up, the two witnesses that will be here. Hello? Does everybody understand it? And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in the glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make there three tabernacles for you, Moses, and Elijah, not knowing what he said. He was just mumbling because he was freaked out. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. Now, these guys entered the cloud. Come on. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. You don't think those guys passed out? I mean, they were freaked out. First of all, they see Jesus change and transfigure into to them it might have been an alien, I don't know, you know, but they didn't know what the heck happened. They had no information about how Jesus was going to be transfigured, wool hair, fiery, you know, eyes and whatever, and they didn't know anything about that. All of a sudden they saw him transfigured. Whoa. And then they knew Moses and Elijah, and they were talking together. And then they really woke up. And then all of a sudden, everything changes, and the cloud appears, and they walk into the cloud with Jesus. And then a voice speaks to them. This is my beloved son. You know what? That those guys never were the same. They never were the same. Oh, and when the vowels had And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. Who would believe them? Think about it. These guys were freaked out. But they were never the same. Never. And I believe also that at that time, even though they were told to stay in Jerusalem and so forth and get baptized, I believe they got baptized in the cloud of glory. Those three. Anyhow, that's what I believe. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Remember, if you can't master yourself, how do you expect to have power over the enemy? And he knows it. He challenges you to find out whether you have power over yourself. Mark 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you, Jesus." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold. Now in this time, hello. Somebody get it? Now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Wow. So Jesus says to them, he says, look at those wanted to be first cannot deny themselves. There's individuals that always want to be first, they want us to be recognized, they always want to be whatever. He said they won't be first, they'll be last. And those who humble themselves that are last, because see, a person that's humble doesn't care, he lets everybody else go first. Does everybody get it? Then they will be first. Oh, hallelujah. But he said, look it, I'm going to reward everyone. Not only will you get 100 times here, but you'll get 100 times when you go home. But there's a requirement. You got to leave it all. You got to leave it all to follow. Why? Because he'll restore it. He's the restorer of everything. When you allow him to restore it, he takes care of it. Glory. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And Paul writes, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that he had received from God, a thorn in the flesh was given to him, a messenger of Satan to buffet me," he said, "lest I be exalted above measure." Now, this is what he believed. Does everybody get it? And truly, I believe that Paul was really realizing what a pain in the flesh we are. Does everybody get it? I think Paul was, again, you got to remember, he was baptized in the glory. I mean, multiple revelations, multiple visitations. There's more things that are written that are not even in the Bible about Paul and what happened to him. What a conversion. Amen? But I really believe, in my belief that I really believe, that Paul finally realized his flesh. His flesh. Man, this flesh is a pain in the side. This flesh is, it haunts you. Amen. Look at how he wrote about the difference between the old man and the new man, the flesh man and the new creation. Because he learned all that through his own experience and revelations from God. Those who are led by the Spirit have eternal life. Those who are led by the flesh will die. He's the one that was able to separate it because God revealed all this to him. Realized what a pain in the flesh he was. concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Well, you can't really leave your flesh unless you want to go home. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. Ooh. For my flesh is what? Weak. See, so what's he saying? Look, at when you're weak, then you become strong. Why? Because you're not relying on you. Now you're relying on the power of his might, not yours. Amen. And again, there's that exchange. When we have a tendency to walk along with the Lord, walk, then we begin to walk in the flesh a little bit, leaning more. And I got this. I got this. Ooh. No, Lord, we have this. You know, we share. But, you know, this is how it begins. It's the little eyes that lead to bigger eyes. And the next thing you know, you're promoting yourself. And then you get fall into a place of struggle because you're trying to do it in your own strength. Amen? You get irritated, frustrated. Then you got to stop. Amen? You got to back up. You got to sing a song. You got to throw the devil out and all the demons that are hanging around waiting to get fed. Because they're waiting for you to get off in the flesh. When we're weak in self, then we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Acts 26. Oh, we're challenged every day. Our struggle is every day. It's a struggle. It's a power struggle. Don't give it up. Acts 26, verse 12. Glory. While this occurred, as I journeyed, says Paul, to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journey with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? Well, snap. Who are you, Lord? I mean, think about this. Instantly, he knew he was Lord. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Boy, Paul must have felt like... But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light and from the what? Power of Satan to God. Well, Satan has power to do what? To deceive. Amen. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wow. Satan has power, but he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. Amen. So only the believers of Jesus Christ, spirit-filled believers, that are true followers, that maintain their connection, that maintain his presence, that are able to deny themselves daily, carry the power that Satan fears. He fears you more than anyone. But you people won't know that. Look what happened to the demons when Jesus showed up. Ah! Throw us in the pigs. And then what did they do? The pigs drowned it. So where'd they go? They lost home. But there's a revelation. See, it was to remind them because they were children. Amen. They were of the Nephilim race that drowned. Amen. So those demons were the same spirits that drowned in the flood. So what did Jesus do? He reminded them of who they were. So he sent them right in the water, and they drowned again. Except for they were in a pig's uniform. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Therefore what? Come out from among them and be what? Separated. Says the Lord. The Lord, the commander. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. In other words, don't agree with things that are unclean. And I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out of the world of deception. John 19, verse 10. Then Pilate said to Jesus, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has greater what? Sin. Again, only God can grant power. That means he has the last say of everything. Everything, sometimes it's like a chessboard. But everything that's going on for me and you is training. This is all training for something greater, beyond this realm, beyond humanity, beyond this reality. Something greater. Where all of our forefathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, have departed to, waiting for us to come home. But in the meantime, we have a job to do. Amen? That's why he says, make sure your treasures are built in heaven, not here on earth. Mark 3:24. Jesus said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So what's the enemy try to do? Get your house divided. You. And if Satan has risen up against himself, it is divided. He cannot stand, but he has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then he will plunder his house. Whoa. Again, the house divided cannot stand. And that's the area where the enemy, if he can divide your house, you end up surrendering your power. Isaiah 61. Is everybody there? Isaiah 61, we're going to proclaim this because it is the season now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good things, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and an oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be what? Glorified. I'm going to close at Romans 6. pull out this prayer right here, Isaiah 61. Pull out the exchange prayer. Exchange that stuff. Remember, it's nothing but a power struggle. The enemy's trying to get you to surrender your power. Oh, no, you don't. Romans 6, verse 5, please. For if we've been united together in the likeness of Jesus' death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That's why we have to ask ourselves, am I dead yet? That's why it's a good day to die, isn't it? Why? Because why is that saying to somebody? Because they're struggling. Oh, it's a good day to die. That should remind you, look, don't give up your power. Die yourself. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lusts or desires. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace, under the plan of escape. Amen? Is everybody okay? Did you learn something? Praise God. You'll be tested. Test is around the corner. Amen? Remember, it's a power, it's a struggle power, daily. How do you overcome? If you can't overcome yourself, how can you overcome the enemy? Don't give up your power. Don't give up your will. Stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Be blessed and stay dressed with the glory.